Welcome to the Content That Grows podcast, where we chat with folks from all kinds of companies to better understand the content they've invested in, how they did it, and how it impacted the growth of their company. I'm Nate Turner, co-founder and CEO of 10Speed, and today I am excited to be sitting down with my co-founder, Kevin King. What's up, Kevin?
What's up? Happy to be here.
Awesome. We'll be doing a few of these throughout each season, just sitting down and talking through a lot of more tactical things or things that are more topically relevant. But for today, you know, given it's a big part of our story and in the history, is I thought we'd kind of dive in and go back to some of our days of working together at Sprout Social and talk through a little bit about what content was like, you know, as we were sort of at that point of scaling content, and then also just hear a little bit more from Kevin about some of his experience when he went on to be head of marketing at Review Tracker. So excited to jump in and get started.
Let's do it.
Cool. So I thought, you know, we could start going back to it was probably 2014 or so when you 2013. Okay. So I feel like if my memory serves me correctly, we spent a lot of time early on when you came on with like a lot of technical foundation and like crawl optimization stuff, specifically for the blog too. I know we went through a pretty big migration at some point. We like switched analytics over and just got really, really deep into like everything that was happening with pagination and just a lot of crawl budget stuff. So, I think what I'd love to understand is like, just, well, one, like any sort of significant memories you have from that period. And then also just like, how important do you think that was to sort of like setting the foundation for future success of the blog? Cause that was before we were doing like a ton of writing and stuff. So I'm just kind of curious your thoughts there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was critical. And it's funny because I think that like, it was a perfect storm of timing too, that brought me to Sprout at that time, because it was, you guys were migrating the old blog to a new, at the time, what the new Insights blog was going to look like. And so there was this big massive technical undertaking that had to be had. And I remember even on our, my initial phone screen with you, we were talking about some of the technical stuff that would go into it. I think you were leading or like asking questions that definitely ended up coming up like in my first month around what we needed to do. But it was huge. I don't think ultimately like in those first couple of years, the content would have been able to actually do what it needed to do when we made the change later on to some like more like longer form stuff and all that, if like the technical stuff wasn't really, really, really tight. So I remember like, the first big project you gave me was that migration, and I've spent, I crawled the website a million times with Screaming Frog to make sure that everything was going to go as smoothly as possible at that launch. I mean, it was so important, and it was my first like really, really big project like that I got to like kind of like lead. And it was big. I'd become obsessed with crawl budget at the time too, because it just made a ton of sense that like this would be such a contributing factor to search engines understanding like content and site structure and all that. And it was huge. If we didn't make those decisions and ultimately like make sure that was super buttoned up at the beginning, I don't think we would have gotten to where we would have gotten to as quickly as we did.
Yeah, totally agree. I think at that time we knew like the content, we saw that as a piece that was going to be like big, you know, knowing over time there was going to be a lot of content. So it was like, even at the time we saw some benefits from the crawl optimization, but then it was also knowing, sort of like building for the future. And I think one of the significant parts there, like not a lot of people know that the Sprout blog, it's called Insights, and it was called that because it originally was started as more of like a news publication. So we had dates in the URLs, because that made sense in that application. So that was a big part of it, was actually taking that out and, you know, all the proper redirect strategy and all of that stuff. So, I totally agree. I think that was big, but also just like, it was just so much fun. I think just kind of like geeking out on all of that stuff.
That was my big grand vision. I think I was like, the dates got to go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad it did. It would have made updating content much, much more challenging. So, you know, another thing that comes to mind is, you know, after that period, it ended up shifting to where ownership of the blog and like blog content really shifted over, you know, into our team, and some aspects of it shared with some of the other folks in marketing. But that's when we really started to think about like, how do we like really scale this as a B2B blog and use this to our advantage to really like make it a driver of growth. And I still have like this distinct memory of you, like, I don't know if you asked me to come by your desk or just I was walking by or something, but you were like, you had all these tabs open and were just showing me all these websites that had like really, really well thought out, well designed long form content with whether it was like motion on the scroll or, you know, different things like that. But it was like just really, really highly designed pieces. And so I'd love to, you know, that's probably at that point, probably 2015. Just curious, like what were you seeing at that time, and just like why were you so compelled that was the future direction that we needed to go?
Yeah. Well, that was the thing that I was most excited about coming in at Sprout, was like being able to try and help influence some of the content direction. And I'd seen early on, because you mentioned it was like a kind of a more of a news site, like kind of like keeping up with social media trends and stuff, that there was a ton of opportunity to go into like evergreen content. And I'd been like studying basically everything from Moz, Rand Fishkin, Sear Interactive, Will Reynolds, Distill, the Critchlow brothers, like all of them. And they're still all so amazing in terms of what they like are saying, putting out there from thought leadership. But they were all educating on like long form content that's really, really resourceful and truly authentic is like going to be the way of the future. And at that time, no one was like, not a ton of companies were really investing it. There were certain areas of the internet that were. And I remember I just like kept bookmarking tons of different like cool resources that I'd find. And I remember in particular, because I sent an email to the company or like to the marketing team with like a bunch of those pieces, because we were like, how can we change some content around here? And it was like my time to pounce on that idea. And it was like, I remember them too. It was Polygon, which is a big, great video game website, which is still out there. They have these like incredible Xbox One and PS3 or PS4 reviews. And there was like this great New York Times article. I know these are like more publications, but like they were investing like in these beautifully designed and interactive pieces that like, I was just like, God, this is so incredible. They're going to get so much press for this, or backlinks and all the things that you need to like get people to get people to read the content, not only share it and drive growth. But those were like the like big signals that I'd seen or used, or examples I've used to, I think I pitched the kind of idea there, but like ultimately it just felt like it was the next natural step. I think at that point, maybe traffic hadn't been growing as much, and there had been some more evergreen type topics that had been written about, peppered in to like the media stuff. And you could start to see that in the data. So it was just like, I think it was just like a combination of like, this is naturally where this whole industry is going in terms of just SEO and content, but also the natural direction of like where the website was going and what the data was telling us.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that's really cool. And it also, you know, for context and thinking back, I do feel like there was just a little bit of this like, not like a holding period or something, but it was like infographics were so huge from, you know, like 2011 to, you know, for a few years. And so I feel like we were just a little bit in that like, okay, well, those have faded out. Like that was really the kind of the cool way to just like show a lot of data and like build a lot of links and stuff like that. And so, yeah, kind of recognizing that as the next trend and whatnot, made a lot of sense, which ultimately led to the ideation and creation of the Always Up to Date social media image sizes guide, which was a huge endeavor at the time, and really led to, well, one, we did for many years after always keep it up to date, but a huge resource to just make it easy for people to find any, you know, image size or banner or anything for any social network they needed, just be able to have one place to find that. And with the networks always changing them, you know, making sure to keep it up to date. That post ended up going on to be, you know, like definitely top five, maybe top three traffic, organic traffic drivers for the entire site, and a huge revenue driver for the company. And it wasn't just a blog post. There was sort of some supplemental stuff that went with it. So I'd love for you to just kind of like talk about it, but then also, you know, explain a little bit about like how you came up with that topic in particular, and just kind of like why you felt strongly that that was the right way to go and make the investment and that it would pay off.
Yeah. I think at that time, my like role, I'd been getting deeper into the data, and I was super obsessed with really like granular level analysis of Search Console data, where I was tracking like week over week impressions and click growth, or at what we now call decay, which I didn't call it that at the time. And I remember like finding some of that decay across a variety of posts. And there was like this like plateau and significant decay on that image. There was a post on image, social media image sizes. And it was really just like pared down. It was a good post, but it was, you know, had a few, only talked about a few networks, and it had some stock imagery, and like, you know, you looked at the data, when you dug into the data, it was like a gold mine. There was like tons of signals that were showing that the content didn't match the intent of what people really wanted. So like, mm-hmm. It just seemed like this is a natural thing we need to kind of just like, let's take a stab at updating it and optimizing it. There was a variety of things, including those like interactive pieces and all that stuff that were like super inspiring to like try and make this something like really, really cool and resourceful. So like, I think it wasn't even just me. I think one of our teammates, Michael Patterson, he was a really strong contributor and collaborator on that. Like, we all kind of came up with these different ideas of like, let's make this like a really big resource, that the resource that social media managers, like our key audience, need every day. Like, bookmarkable was like the term, right? This needs to be bookmarked. The title may have been regrettable in the long run, because it definitely implied that this was something that you would bookmark, but it was a bigger undertaking to keep up to date. But all those things like combined to be like, let's try and just like really like hedge our bets on like investing in this one big piece that seemed to be integral into the what now we call like jobs to be done framework for social media managers, right? Like, and those image sizes are always changing, even today. So it's like, it's still like pretty relevant. But yeah, like that was the impetus for at least like diving into like creating a bigger piece, combination of data and industry stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I remember, so along with the post, we created that Google Sheet that was like made public and had all the data in there as well. So if you didn't want to have to scroll through the post, you could have be in there. And I remember at one point, I opened it up and looked in there, and you can always see it like shows like anonymous how many people were in there. And I think at the time there was like seven, like at one point in time, just as I was logged in, there was like 75 people in the doc. And it's like, holy, you know, holy cow. Like, this is borderline like product market fit. It is clear, very, very clear signal that around the world right now, there are 75 people actively in the spreadsheet using it. Is pretty remarkable in terms of, like you said, sort of the jobs to be done aspect of like really nailing that. And the other thing that's fascinating is now, as I talk to a lot of people, you know, through what we're doing with 10Speed, I often will get on calls and have people tell me like, oh, you did marketing at Sprout Social. That's awesome. I always love the image sizes guide. Like, you use that thing like crazy, and you know, we're just always using it, and like, it's so helpful. So to hear that even just years later is pretty wild. So it's definitely huge from that standpoint, but fascinating to hear that it wasn't even like this huge prediction or anything from you. It just was literally like being so granular in the data and seeing a lot of that volume there and knowing that like collectively that was sort of a problem people were trying to solve through their searches. So it's very cool.
Totally. And a big boon of like, or the big reason that that ultimately was successful though, is like how great and well designed all of like the images were. That spreadsheet, which was totally inspired by Annie Cushing. She had like a bunch of resources that like were like Google spreadsheets, which at the time too, if you think about it now, it's like that was, you know, 2015 or whatever. Like people were, there wasn't that many people creating shared Google spreadsheets, not to take credit for that because that was definitely inspired by it. But like our designer, Miss Melissa Flowers, who had a huge impact on that because she created all the images and like really worked really closely with us on that. She even made the spreadsheet look good. Like she designed like a title tab and like it had the logo in it. I didn't even know you could do these things. And it was like, okay, I just thought it was going to be a spreadsheet. That would be a pain, but she made it look awesome. And it was all branded by all networks. And yeah, it was really cool. And I'm glad to see that it's like at least standed the test of time at least.
Yep. Cool. And then you mentioned, noticing some of the decay. So the last kind of area around some of the Sprout content stuff was just kind of like what prompted you to start thinking about optimizing existing content and then just sort of like how success from some of those early attempts at that ended up sort of causing you to shift the strategy.
I think it was, you could probably tell me if this is like not in the right order, but I believe the image sizes guide was like the big proof of concept. So like we at the time were kind of like, you know, we had a bunch of people creating content for the team and we like believed, and you believed in that like idea, so you're like, go do it. But it was a little bit out of band, and we got the resources to kind of put it together, and so like we pushed that forward, pushed it out. It got really, really great results. I remember like seeing how great our traffic and leads return was on that, like pretty almost like overnight. I think like we used that as the signal. I think from there we took like 2 to 4 other posts. We were like, I think I remember a time of being in the office, like your office or something, being like, because we were both kind of blown away at like we didn't know that it would like take this big spike in traffic like within a few days from I think we consolidated a few other posts into it that had something to do with image sizes and stuff, and it was just like, this is crazy. We were like, okay, so how do we repeat that? So we're like, let's test it out on a few other posts. I tried to rack my brain recently about what those were. I think there were a few like tangentially related posts, but either way, we just like found a few more posts that we felt would be good fits for it. We're like, let's see if we can do it again. And then like, I remember we did it like 3 times and then it just kept happening. So much so that we remember presenting to the company like about all that stuff. And it was on a few of those pieces of content. But yeah, ultimately it was like, I think a set of a few pieces of content that we like deliberately and intentionally updated after that one to just like make sure that it was working. So it was a little bit of testing, and then we were like, this has to be a part of our strategy. We have so much content. Even before I got there, there was already so much content on the blog. So like, it was just like such a great like gold mine to just like go through and be like, all right, we can take the existing historical framework for this blog and we can totally evolve it and shift it in a really, really like strategic and data-driven way.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. So let's shift a little bit. So from that time then, you moved and became head of marketing for Bamboo, which was the new product we launched inside of Sprout, the social advocacy platform. So I thought it'd be kind of interesting to touch on just a little bit of like what it was like sort of building a brand inside of another brand, and specifically kind of how you took some of the learnings from what we were doing with Sprout blog and sort of had this unique opportunity to like clean slate. I get to start from fresh and kind of build this how I think we should. So like what were some of the similarities you pulled from there and from the experience and kind of how you went about starting a brand new program like that?
Yeah, I think it was, so like where we, like when I shifted off of Sprout, it was really, we were doing a really good job of creating content. I mean, naturally there was just so many topics to talk about, but that were tied to product because the platform, you know, integrated with so many networks and there's just so many different directions you could take it with that were like closely tied. So I think the similarities were like, I started really close to the product, which is like, obviously, I mean, that's something we're still doing today. Everybody should do, right? And I like, so it was, we were positioned as an employee advocacy platform, right? You get your employees to share on social. So it was like, all right, how do I find, what topics can I talk about that are about that specifically? So like, you know, it started from a really, really organic place, no pun intended. But so that I think would probably be the same thing. And plus also like, you know, it was a social play, right? Because it was Sprout and everything was rooted in social. And so naturally we could map those employee advocacy topics to like a bunch of other things that were like closely related to the product, just naturally. But the differences I'd say were like kind of the topics and positioning that we had, I guess, around like how we would get those pieces of content to actually convert into leads. Because Sprout was such a, Sprout and still I believe today is still trial focused, at least the main lead type. The Bamboo product was targeting more of a mid-market enterprise or up enterprise at the time, which was a, you know, Sprout was doing a bunch of that, but this was really focused on that. So it wasn't really a trial play. It was a, you know, request a demo and, but like that, those are harder to convert. So like, how are we gonna get leads? So we started to create content that that was like specifically tied to other resources that we could gate, especially at that time, you know, like, you know, things get gated still, which is a widely debated topic. But I think that was the big difference. I remember really intentionally creating individual pieces of content, not even retroactively, but like creating individual pieces of content that would have a specific resource associated with it. I think like one good example is like we created this like 7 steps to create an internal communication strategy. And it was like, it had I think we gated a few extra tips or something, but I remember like it worked really, really well from like a lead gen standpoint. And that was just a little bit different than what we were doing, at least at the time on the Sprout side. I think that was a natural shift for the Sprout blog and insights and everything. At that point too, but not at that time.
Yep. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that I recall a lot of that as you're saying it and agree like that there was, you know, good amount that you were able to take from what we'd done, but also different product, different market, you know, some of the stuff like not just forcing the exact same playbook, but understanding and kind of like tailoring your strategy to that. So all good stuff. Cool. And then, so when you left Sprout, eventually you went and became head of marketing at Review Trackers, and had, I think you had a little bit of an existing team, right?
Yes.
And then, built the team over time.
Yep. Yeah. I came into a team of, there was two writers, one writing/editor, overseeing SEO, everything, and then a great designer.
Yeah, cool. And so when you came on, like what was sort of the current state of, you know, organic performance, you know, marketing performance, the current content strategy? Like what was it like when you came in?
There was a ton of content. At that point, I think like they hit just a natural plateau in terms of what organic was doing. But like they'd been around for a few years and had an awesome organic content program up until that point. It was actually very similar, I think, at that point to kind of what Sprout was doing early on. Some similar like breaking news, I wouldn't say, but it was really topical on like trends and stuff that like really informed by like what Google was doing from Google My Business. Like they release updates. Google releases so much information around all products, especially as it relates to search, local, all that. And Google My Business is so core to that product and industry that they just had tons of natural like topical, timely content that would naturally just turn into evergreen content if you got your hands onto it and looked at the data. So so they had done a lot of great stuff, but again, it was like naturally kind of hitting a plateau. So which was ultimately why it was super appealing, because I was like, this is where I really like to live.
yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, and part of why I wanted to touch on that is I think that that's a common scenario for a lot of marketing leaders, or, you know, first time marketing leaders. Like, you're rarely joining something that's brand new and building from the ground up. So you sort of had the opportunity of joining Sprout already in motion. Then you had the opportunity of doing some of the Bamboo stuff from the ground up, and then coming into Review Trackers, you know, again, and be able to grow from there. I think it's just interesting. So that's why I wanted to dig in here a little bit. So it sounds like you knew going into it, like taking that role, that there was an opportunity to like scale content and scale performance in that channel.
Yes, for sure. And that's what they were looking for that too.
Yeah, okay.
Someone to help kind of, you know, steer that ship, especially the organic, because it had grown, it had driven so much growth up until that point that like we needed to like take this to another level. So yeah, that was definitely appealing. But it was also a deliberate search on their yeah. Half.
Yeah. Okay. And so I think so let's dig in, like, what, you know, especially for anyone else, like I said, sort of joining in that capacity, like, what were the things you were looking at? Like, how did you start to shift the strategy, shift the process of the content program? And like, what were some of the results that came from that?
Yeah. I mean, my whole, plan, was to like start there initially, right? Like, with knowing there was such a great foundation, it's not too dissimilar from, what we were doing, you know, a few years earlier at Sprout. Like, I just needed to get in there, look at audit the content up until that point, really, really dive into Search Console, to understand like what was really performing from an organic standpoint, and then also understand like what was impacting, leads on the conversion side. And so like when you dug in again, it was just similarly a goldmine. Like there was this natural turning point where like you could look back at the content and understand why it kind of was limited at that point in time. There wasn't any like what we call now pillar, like topic cluster type content. They hadn't really gotten into long form, which is fine. Like, it's not about just creating long content, right? Like, but like there's a strategic element to that where like they hadn't created any content around like the pillars that like really map to the product. A lot of really great stuff that tied to product. But like, for example, I think the first thing that we did to similarly to the image sizes guide, like let's create something from the data that we have here and prove out that like, you know, educational resource around a like critical pillar. And we start with Google. I think it was Google My Business. Let's create like, you know, our Google My Business guide. You know, I don't know. I think it was probably like the ultimate guide or something, but it ultimately, I believe in the first like couple months was like doubling traffic from where it was. And we consolidated a ton of content because they had such good Google content, and really just like set the stage for what we wanted to do. And there was so much more we could do. So that like informed, there was the Google My Business. Because if you're talking about reviews, there's Facebook and Yelp and everything, right? Like,
sure.
Once you start to see that, this is how content scales, especially for a product that like naturally has so many, many ties to different like networks or whatever you want to call it, companies. So yeah, we just started to like prove it out there, and then it just built the roadmap from there. But that was like very, very much like my plan coming in was like, I think this is here. I can see it's not here. Let's see if it works. And, you know, it's kind of fundamental, right? Like at that point, and I think still to this day we do it, it's just, I believe it's the fundamentals of what you should be doing within SEO, organic content.
Cool. I mean, so like in that process, did you completely halt your new content creation and just focus on all that, or were you kind of doing a little bit of both? Like, what did you do in that?
It was a little bit of both, right? Like, there was still a strong desire because, you know, from, you can't look at obviously organic content in a vacuum. Some of the content that they're creating serve multiple purposes, multiple functions in the business, right? So a lot of the like topical stuff was really great for sales. Sure. Because, yep, you know, we're getting ahead of things and talking about like, hey, this is the latest thing for Google My Business and we know all about it. And like, that's why you should talk to us, right? So like, we couldn't completely halt new content creation, but there was a like, let's slow down. They were creating a lot of content. There was a hunch that like, let's maybe focus on like, not this volume play of like making sure that we're talking about everything because we aren't a publication, and let's like focus on creating just really, really high quality content. So it was at the beginning, you know, like anything, especially for anybody, any like marketing leader or anything coming in, like you got to prove yourself. So like we did it deliberately in terms of like, let's do this strategically. Let's not like totally disrupt the ship, but let's like just like pump the brakes a little, to use cool those metaphors.
Yes. Yeah. Cool. And then if they were already doing a lot of content, you're able to slow down, be a little more deliberate. It sounds like you probably didn't need to scale up the team to be able to do that. You're able to just kind of shift what they were focusing on, which is always great.
Yep. Yeah. There was the team that they had, which is like for writing, which is, I can't emphasize enough, like having obviously a great educated writing team that also has great SEO skills. Like when you have a really, really strong plan in place, like you can, and you understand what the volume is, like you may look at it like you have the resources you need to accomplish that. And they had a really great one. I don't even think, I was there for 2 years and I don't think we ever hired another writer. Yeah, and it's still, that's awesome, able to grow. Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Yeah. And so as much as you're able to share, kind of what level of impact did that have on organic growth and in like, you know, revenue or anything along those lines that you're able to share as well?
Yeah. I believe in the first year we more than doubled organic traffic. And that was after about a year of a plateau. I mean, you could go into Ahrefs and probably pull and see where all that happens. But yeah, I don't know if I could share revenue specifically, but we definitely saw a increase in leads and that flow through the funnel in a meaningful way. But organic traffic definitely grew significantly in that first year. From a flat place.
Yep. Cool. Awesome. Well, I think, you know, we'll go ahead and wrap up here in just a sec. If you enjoyed this episode, definitely visit 10speed.io/podcast for the show notes. Be sure to subscribe or follow to catch any future episodes. Like I said, Kevin and I will be doing additional episodes in the future, probably a little bit more topical or tactical in the future, but I thought it'd be cool just to start with this one for our first one together. So with that, any final advice or, you know, encouragement, anything you would say to content marketers or marketing leaders that are considering investing in content to grow their business?
Yes, I would say I have a few things. And I would say this to the leaders and one for the leaders at least, and one for the like teams. But I would say from on the leadership side, like trust and empower the team to like make the decisions around the content that they want to create. Like, I think you can speak for that, not that I'm speaking for you. That like, you know, that's why I think we saw some great successes, because there was trust on like your side and also leadership. To like let the team that was in place like run with some of the ideas that they had versus like some big picture like we need to do this, we need to create this, like no, like we gambled and took some bets. The only reason we did that was because of the empowerment from leadership. And then I'd say on the like content marketer side, the person who's like trying to like do the work and help grow like from a tactical perspective is like, if you have that idea or anything, like just go and make it. Like make the content that you believe is going to help the business grow, especially if you believe in it. Like you don't know what you don't know, and you've got to try things out. And I know that there's teams that are going to have priorities, and you're going to have to like plan, and there's going to be like some internal buy-in, but like there's no better way to get buy-in than just go create it. Even if I'm not saying work more hours or whatever, but like,
yeah,
go create the thing. I think that that's why social media image sizes worked so well, was because we did whatever we needed to do to make it happen, and it proved that this could work. So like, I've seen that now happen so many times. So I would say those are the two biggest tips that I think will always be true.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, this was fun. I look forward to doing some more in the future, and yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there.
Yeah. Well, thanks. This is awesome. Yeah. I'm pumped to keep doing these.
Yep. Awesome. All right. See ya.